Kentucky side has won the 129th Kentucky Derby. When jockey Jose Saddles aboard. When jockey Jose Saddles aboard. Jose Saddles aboard. And Jose Saddles. Jose Saddles. Jose Saddles. Turning the Preakness into a runaway.
This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with Hall of Fame jockey Jose Santos. We're here at Saratoga. Take me back to the first time you came to Saratoga.
Well, thank you. I came over here in 1985. I remember I was riding a horse. The first time I rode over here, I was riding a horse for Nick Zito. There was supposed to be a mile and a half race in the grass and rain that day, like it usually rains in opening day. And they moved the race to the main track. And luckily, I went to the lead and win the race. And after that, I fell in love right away from Saratoga.
Yeah, easy game, right? Just come to Saratoga, put them on the lead and win.
Yeah, it looked easy at the time, but and then when the reality hits, it's not easy. It's not easy. The competition over here is real, real tough because the best horses coming over here, the best jockey, they are over here in the trainer as well. You know, so it's real tough competition. I guess since I've been here in 1985 to now, it's always been tough.
What was it like back when you were Angel Cordero? We had him on the show last week, and he was a champion jockey here going for those titles. You were the first one to kind of dethrone the champ. What was that like for you?
Well, there was a lot of fun. You know, I have a real good agent at the time, which Frank Sanabria. And it was tough because we have a real good colony of jockey. Then I can mention and Georgie Velasquez, Jacinto Vasquez, Eddie Maple, Richie Migliore, Robbie Davis. I can say out of the 20 guys there was in the jacket room, maybe 18 of them right now they are Hall of Fame. And it was fun, you know, when Angel and I was fighting for the title. And he win one race, I win two races, or vice versa. And it was a lot of expectation for the public. You know, there was not better than a horse. There was better than a trainer. A jockey than either the best Angel and Santos, Isactas, and people was making money. And it was pretty exciting because it was a lot of expectation that who was going to win the title. And luckily, in the end, I win by four races, I believe.
And was it friendly competition with Angel, or what was it like? You guys, man, obviously arch rivals, but what was that like?
Actually, it was not a friendly competition because...
I don't think Angel ever did anything real friendly.
No, Angel, he, you know how he was, and he don't like to lose, and he win the title for 11 times, and he went to, of course, he went to win it again. He was crossing in front of me, and he played with my mind in the jockey's room. He always come out, you know, with some rooster. One time he come out to the jockey room like doing some kind of voodoo. And it was funny. And then in the end he said, look, I have a ponytail. If you beat me, you can cut my ponytail. And say, what am I going to give you in return if you beat me? I say, no, you don't have to give me nothing. I say, I just don't want you to beat me. And say, well, it's too bad because I have a good business then. And say, I'm going to beat you. He say, no, you're not going to beat me. Yeah, we're fighting back and forth. And we came in the middle of the meet. We have a slum, him and I. I think in 14 or 15 races that we rode, we won only one race. So, and then we took off again, and we was probably, and you win three or four races in the day. So did I, you know. So it was fun. In the end, Angel went, you know, he the last day I win three races, he know he got beat. He came to the jockey run in the last day and the last race with a season and let me catch his ponytail. So... that was, I think that was like a trophy to me, you know, to be available to cut Angel Cordero's ponytail It was a lot of fun.
Where's the ponytail? You got it on a mantle somewhere?
At Team France and Avria Haps. And I have the pictures, though. You know, when you look back, and it was a lot of fun.
Coming from Chile, was your goal to get to the top? I mean, how quickly did you think, wow, I can make it to the top in America?
Well, when I came first, I came to Hialeah. You know, a lot of the good trainers, good horses used to go to Hialeah. It was tough in the beginning because the language barrier. But there was a lot of Spanish people as well over there. So it was a little difficult. It took me about 5 months to win my first race. And then when I start winning, in 8 months, I start breaking record. I broke Angel Cordero record in Gulfstream Park. I won in 50 days, 61 races. So I was winning left and right. So, and when 85 came, I went to ride a horse in Aqueduct. And my agent, Frank Tanauro, was there. That's when I met him. He asked me if I want to come to New York. So I opened my eyes and said, I need to go finish some stuff in Gulfstream Park. I'll be here in 2 weeks. Since then, I've been here in New York. And it was fun because I started riding for Richard Dutra Sr. right away, Fran Martin, and a lot of the good trainers, and started winning races right away. And it was fun because Angel and Georgie Velasquez, they was always together. They was compadre, both of them, you know. So when I started winning races, they having... one of the two, they be in front and the other one being behind, watching me. And they having a signal. If you're not coming from inside, they was going, ha! If you're not coming from outside, they was going, ha, ha! So they used to look for me, you know. So one day, there was the two in front of me, and I came right next to them, and I pushed into the inside, stopped that, ha, ha, yeah, so... You know, it was we was competing in the track, and locally, you know, I rode a lot of good horses, and that helped me a lot, and my career took off. You know,
so they recognized right off the bat that you were a threat to them, the way you rode and the way you could win races.
Yeah, when I came over here in '84, I was not an apprentice. I already rode in Chile for 13 months, and then I went to Colombia for 6 months. For 6 years. So I have plenty of experience. I just need the horse, you know, and my agent booked me with very nice horses, and I did on top of them what I was supposed to do, and stay away from the bad guys and get into the winner's circle.
Who was the fastest horse you rode?
Well, the faster horse in I rode was Groovy, but the best horse in I rode was Manila. He won the Breeders' Cup in, I believe, in 1986, and I rode it five times and win five Grade One with him. It was a wonderful horse, and I believe I rode about 11 champions, and then there was Criminal Type. Metastar, Flies of Free, Crystal Clarence. I mean, horses, they probably, I think Manila is the only one is in the Hall of Fame, but I'm surprised. I was in the Hall of Fame a couple of days ago. The Criminal Tie is not there.
Yeah, he's a good horse, older handicap type horse.
He was the only horse in the same years, probably 88, I think it was. He beat Sunday Silent and the Hollywood Gold Cup, and beat Isigor in the same year and the Met Mile. So he won for me five Grade One too.
How do you know when a horse is good? I mean, is it the moment you get on a horse, or like is a good horse different than an average horse immediately when you get on?
Yeah, you see the class of the horses right away when you get on. You know, nothing bad in them, and when they hit to the track, and and they do amazing stuff. Even though sometimes they break bad, but you know, you give you a chance to get in position, and then when they ask, and they're always there, you know. And I mean, I had to mention a funny side. You know, a horse there when the Kentucky Derby on me. I remember I was here in Saratoga when I believe Edgar Prado was supposed to work the horse, and he don't show up, and they asked me to work the horse. My agent, I said, can you come in and work a horse for Buckley Tag? And I say, wow, for that groggy son of a gun, I'd say. He said, yeah, here is a good horse. I get on the horse and I'm working. And I told, don't ever get on this horse because he want to win the Kentucky Derby. I told my agent that day, he said, yeah, are you sure? And I say, believe me, this is a real, real good horse. So and he ran in September in Belmont Park, breaking for the 13 hole and 5.5 furlongs, and he went like 11 and 3/4 lengths. And I was not wrong. You know, I've been wrong many times, but about horses, I'm pretty much there.
Who was the toughest guy you rode against? Was it Angel or Velasquez, or who was the toughest guy to ride against?
Well, I think the toughest guy, and I rode probably Angel, because he not only that he can ride, and when he know who was supposed to beat, and he go to them, and they say, listen, you have speed, I'm going to let you go. But nah, Angel do the opposite. Yeah, he did it on me. You know, when I came over here, I was riding a speed horse sort of thing, and he told me, look, we both have a speed. Let's break nice and easy, and so when we get to the quarter pole, and we see who is the best. And so first time I listened to him and break nice and easy, and I look up, Angel was 5 in front of me. He came out of there like a crazy guy. And after that, I never believed Angel what he would say. You know, but that was in the track. Outside the track, it's completely different human being. You know, racing is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a good lesson Angel taught you, right? I mean, you got a good lesson early.
Yeah, I mean, you learn from a lot of guys. You know, the older you get, the wiser you are. You know, and when you see new guys, you do the same to them.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Did you do the same thing to young guys?
Yeah, I mean, I was not an aggressive rider. You know, I just worry about my horses, but we take advantage of the apprentice. You know, they are in front, and you get next to them, you smoosh their horses, you know, and to go a little faster, make the pace for us and stuff like that. You know?
Beautiful, huh? How much do you miss riding?
Well, the first 3 years, they was real tough. I've been retired for 14 years. First 3 years was real tough. Right now, you know, I'm 60 years old now, and it's a different ball game. And you see these new guys, you know, you say, well, this guy, they are kamikaze. But, you know, they have a lot of good riders still. And probably in the future, they want to still have good riders.
You could ride with these guys, though, back in the day?
Back in the day, yeah. Oh, yeah, not a problem. They're being behind of us.
What's that old line they asked the Chicago Bulls, would you win the championship, you know, against these guys? And they said, yeah. And they said, how much you win by? Well, we'd probably win by, you know, 10 points, considering we're 60 years old now. Right? This is the Fanticipate question of the day. Jose, who was your biggest fan over your riding career? Your family, your parents? Maybe take me back to who was the biggest fan you ever had in your career?
My biggest fan was my son, Jose Jr. Yeah, he's, you know, I remember I was riding a horse. He was 4 years old. I was riding a horse in Calder for Scotty Schuhofer. And he was just coming back, and he said, Jose, look, if the horse could win, it's fine, but don't abuse him. So I don't abuse the horse, and the horse got beat. He was a big favorite. And Scotty came and see me, and my son was right next to him, and he said, "Dad, this is the worst race that I ever seen you ride." He was a criticizer of me all the time, but he turned out to be a real good guy. Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, your son now is an agent. What's that like, watching your son represent jockeys like he does?
Well, it's put me back in the map, I can say. You know, watching the race today, his jockeys riding, and I'm his bigger fan now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. It changes, right? Now you're rooting for his jockeys just like he was rooting for you.
That's right. You know, team change.
I remember being here when you won on Lemon Drop Kid, won the Travers on Lemon Drop Kid, and Jose was there. I mean, that might be a special moment to share that with your son like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's always special when you're in the winner's circle, you know. When your son look up you, you know, with so much love and happiness that you won, you know, that's special.
Yeah, those moments when you look over his funny side, how much he enjoyed that and appreciated that, it's great to share it with your family.
Oh, definitely. That's a priceless moment. You know, sometimes when I'm home, you know, having a drink, and I get my albums with photos and start remember, you know, the moments, and it's fun. You know, it's when you see pictures or you see the tape of the races, and you remember a little thing that happened in the race that nobody knows, and you see, wow, here in half a mile I make the difference to win the race, and then also, you know, as you see here in the half a mile I messed it up and I lose the race because that, you know, so you know, people say, you know, what you can change in your career. It's nothing to change it. I mean, I have a great career, and I'm made into the Hall of Fame, and that's the best thing that can ever happen to me in races.
Yeah, what's it like walking into the Hall of Fame for that ceremony and looking around and seeing the guys that you're with? And I mean, you get a moment where you think, wow, I really accomplished something with my career.
Yeah, I mean, you see Vasquez, Cordero, you see all the big guns, and they are there, you know, with me. And I went a couple of days ago to the Hall of Fame, and I looked my plaque and say, wow, I definitely did something good in races, and it made me proud.
That's Jose Santos. He's got a lot to be proud of in a career that spanned decades and wound up in the Hall of Fame. Thanks, Jose.
You're welcome.